The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark and the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the works that I've done speak for me. May the life that I live speak for me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Please be seated. Peace be with you. Those are the first words that the risen Christ gave to his disciples. Not just a greeting, it was a proclamation for the fulfillment of Christ's promise. My peace I leave with you. Can you imagine? Huddled there in the small room with people that you consider, everyone that you consider to be your friends, your family. Afraid of going past the window for fear of people seeing you. Afraid of somebody coming and knocking on the door. Not wanting to go outside for fear of being arrested and deported. Huddled there in the dark, your heart pounding. Yes, I am talking about the disciples. Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his hands, his side, the wounds of the crucifixion that are now the marks of victory. And in this moment, he breathes on them. He breathes the Holy Spirit, creation being renewed. Just as God breathed life into Adam, Jesus breathes new life into his disciples, and they are created, born again. Not from the womb, but from the Holy Spirit. And Thomas, poor Thomas, he missed out on that. He wasn't there that day, and he's been maligned over the centuries for it. Decades after these events, after the last disciple died, and with that, the last person to have been with Jesus and to have seen him, touched him, been with him in the physical humanness of it all. That person was gone. But in the words spoken to Thomas, Jesus is telling us, he's guiding us and getting us ready for people to experience God, not based solely on sight, but in belief. We don't actually know what happened in that room with Thomas and the others. Jesus spoke the invitation to touch and see, but we don't know that Thomas actually did. What matters is that Thomas, having heard the words of Jesus, heard the voice that he knew so well, then proclaimed, "My Lord and my God." 2,000 years later, billions of believers later, here we are. Jesus said, and Thomas answered. The word did it. Touching was irrelevant. Thomas wasn't there the first time that Jesus appeared in the locked room with the disciples. He didn't believe their words when they came to him and said, "We've seen Jesus. He's alive." He asked no more than what they had experienced, what they had already received, a vision of the risen Lord, wounds and all. The others didn't believe the women, and they ran to the tomb, the empty tomb, to see for themselves. That's what Thomas is asking. And they still had their fears and their doubts until Jesus appeared before them. Thomas, he needs to see, not because he lacks faith, but because his grief is real. And Jesus meets him in that spot. "Put your finger here and see my hands." Jesus isn't shaming Thomas. He's inviting him to touch, to see, to believe. Jesus meets Thomas in his need, and Thomas responds with a profound profession, "My Lord and my God." Here's the thing. The resurrection isn't just a doctrine that we should recite blindly during the creed. It's a person to be encountered. And in that encounter, faith is born. Not a perfect, unquestioning faith, but a faith that wrestles, that seeks, that is drawn to the wounds of Christ and finds life there. As Christians, we should believe, as Thomas came to believe, that the risen Christ is not just an idea, but a presence. He comes among us behind locked doors, in our fear, in our doubts, in our bread and wine as the sacraments, in words and in silence. He comes not to demand proof of our faith, but to offer peace. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. That's us, you and I. It's every generation of Christians after those first disciples who haven't seen the wounds. We haven't placed our fingers into the wounds, but we can see Christ in the faces around us, in the sacraments on the altar, in the waters of baptism, in the scriptures proclaimed. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are sent, just as those disciples were sent, to carry that peace into a hurting world, to those huddled in their houses now. Don't fear your questions. Don't fear your doubts. Bring them to Christ. He's not afraid of them. But you can use your doubts in your prayers to God. And we should all pray frequently, genuinely. Use your doubts as prayer to draw you deeper into the wounds that heal, into the mystery of the resurrection, into the peace that surpasses all understanding. Be like Thomas. Have your doubts, and then give them to God. Be ready to encounter the living presence, the living Christ, when he comes to you, ready to say with all your heart, "My Lord and my God." Amen.